The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Someone we're going to hear from in a few minutes' time is Gail Porter. Remember Gail Porter? Gail Porter was huge in the mid to late 90s, early noughties. She presented Top of the Pops, Big Breakfast, Alive and Kicking. She was on Blue Peter, I think, for a while. Most famously, she ended up in that kind of set of people who were beloved by the paparazzi and always on the front of Heat or Zoo or Nuts. She was on the front of FHM, the magazine, and she posed naked on the front of that, and it was projected onto the Houses of Parliament in the UK. So if people can remember, people of my vintage, this was kind of huge stuff at the time. And then she got alopecia. She lost all of her hair over a couple of weeks, and Gail Porter's life took a dramatic, dramatic turn. And Gail is going to be with me in a few minutes' time. So I'm really, really looking forward to speaking to her. Somebody I've known through the TV screen for so many years. It'll be kind of surreal to talk to her. So, like I say, I look forward to that. But Claire Fulham is with me now. Claire is a trichologist from Truett Trichology Clinic. And she's here to talk about alopecia as well. It's Alopecia Awareness Month, I should say. Claire, you're very, very welcome to The Hard Shoulder. And it's good to talk to you. What causes alopecia?
Well, Kieran, alopecia is like a kind of an umbrella term for hair loss, you know. So a lot of people, when they think of alopecia, they think of the autoimmune conditions of alopecia. So the alopecia that Gail has would be alopecia universalis totalis. I have alopecia areata, which is a patchy type of alopecia. But generally, when people talk about alopecia, that's what they're talking about. Those kind of autoimmune responses from the body, which can cause huge areas of baldness for long periods of time. And they kind of come up in people's lives on and off. Like, I lost 90% of my hair in 5 weeks. I now have a full head of hair again, but I've got a big patch at the back of my head. So it's something that will creep up in someone's life, like many autoimmune conditions. But alopecia is that blanket term. There's so many different types of hair loss, you know. We've got androgenetic hair loss, which is the most common. That is, you know, what you would see in, like, you know, men and middle-aged women and above as well. You have, like, telogen effluviums. So after a fever, after childbirth, after an operation, medication can cause, like, a diffuse type of hair loss. So alopecia is a blanket term, but it comes in all sorts of shapes and sizes. And really, to be honest, in my work, I've seen all kinds of people suffer with hair loss, you know. So it is something that we should be conscious about, you know, and kind of using preventative tools, but also having some level of empathy towards it. Like, it has changed so many people's lives. Like, it led me to addiction. I know people who haven't left the house for 10 years. I know people who have, their marriages have broken down over their hair loss. So sometimes there's a level of resistance when looking for help. You would know if that's the dermatologist, the GP, it's like, oh, it's just hair, and it's kind of classed in this vanity way, you know. It's absolutely not vain at all, you know. It can be terribly life-changing and huge implications in someone's life, you know. So I suppose I took a really personal experience, which was the most horrendous experience in my life, and I've had a few, into, I suppose, a positive story that now my job is to try and help people work this out. But what I will say is, don't let anyone trick you in, you know, and Gail will tell you this, you know, about there's a lotion, there's a potion, there's this that you can take. You know, hair loss is it has to be kind of treated, if it can be, treated in a very kind of holistic way. And it's a full body approach, you know. So there's a lot of people in the industry out there that just want a bit of money, you know, that kind of way. So just be careful with it.
And is that kind of advice born of personal experience? You know, it's like back when you lost that 90% of hair over 5 weeks, all of a sudden, were you kind of scrambling around for some sort of fix?
Oh, God, yeah. And I would have taken out any credit union loan, any bank loan that was possible if someone was to promise me my gorgeous red hair back, you know, because it's gas for years. I hated it. But when it's on the floor, you start to appreciate it, you know. So 100%, like, I was completely taken advantage of, I don't know how many times, countless times over, you know, the last 8 years, and still am to some degree, by companies, by, you know, people offering this, that and the other to try and cure it. And it's funny now, like, as a psychologist, so I've completely changed career over the past 8 years, but, you know, now I know how to look after it, and I have a patch, as I said, at the back of my head, and I'll get more and I'll suffer more over my lifetime. But it's funny now how I would treat that. I wouldn't panic as much. But 7, 8 years ago, God, I was panicked, you know, and that's the people I meet day in, day out. It's like, what can I do now? I need hair tomorrow. You know, it's a really slow process to grow hair. But yeah, like there's a lot of people out there that just want money for a wig and all that kind of stuff, you know. So just be careful. And I think as a society, you know, we have to start trying to, like, I've such admiration for Gail. Like, she wears that bald head best I've ever seen, better than any man I've ever seen as well. And I think, like, a lot of men suffer with hair loss as well too, but I think society accepts them a lot more than when a bald woman comes into the room, everyone wonders why, you know. And it's not easier for him or her. Like, I think equally emotionally it's very difficult, but society allows men to be bald and it does not allow women, you know.
And how difficult was it to get to that point, you know, when you went from, what do we say, kind of scrambling around, willing to take out any credit union loan you could get your hands on to find a solution, to the point now where you're kind of more, I wouldn't say you're kind of necessarily kind of delighted about it, but that you're kind of happier in your own skin and you're in a place now where you're happy to help other people.
I suppose, like, I learned, you know, it's a harsh lesson to learn, but I learned at 27 years of age. I had 2 kids, a big mortgage at the time, and I learned that I'm still lovable with no hair. I'm still intelligent with no hair. I'm still hilarious with no hair. I'm still all of the things that I was once upon a time, you know, and that hair, I wanted it back more than anything, but I didn't need it anymore. And my hair now, I've gorgeous red hair again, Kieran, again, thank God, but I don't need it anymore. And I look at it as a lovely pleasure in my life, but I don't need it. And I know that it will happen to me again, you know, but it took, God, years of personal work, you know, years of turmoil. Like, as I said, it led me to addiction. I'm sober now 3.5 years, thanks be to God. But that's where it led me, you know, and it's led people further and further down darker path, you know. And then there is people, and I'm in such admiration for them, that I don't think they're, you know, maybe necessarily completely okay with it, but they deal with it a lot better than I certainly did, you know. And it's a pleasure now to help people kind of go through this and try and navigate it with them, you know, in a very ethical way, I suppose, you know.
Well, stay with us, because like I said, Gail Porter joins us now. So many of you would be familiar with Gail, the TV presenter, the broadcaster, charity ambassador. Gail, it is a real, real pleasure, and thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us. Can you remind me exactly, when was it that you first experienced hair loss?
Well, do you know what, Kieran? I was actually working in America doing a programme called Dead Famous, and I was just noticing little patches coming out of the back of my head. And my daughter was only 2 at the time. So I thought, well, do you know what? It could be hormones. It could be anything. So I wasn't too concerned. But then within 4 weeks, it was gone. Everything was gone. And I was like, well, that escalated quickly. And I just had to sort of deal with it from then onwards.
So at what point, say, in the 4 weeks, I guess there would have been a kind of a Rubicon that was crossed where you realised, oh, this isn't just hormonal, there's something really severe here happening. How did you react to that, or what did you do?
Well, my only worry was my daughter, to be honest with you, because she was at home with her daddy and I was away working, and I just thought, oh my gosh, now that it's all falling out, I don't care about myself. Do you know what? I've been through enough in my world. It doesn't matter. I can deal with anything. But what if my daughter doesn't accept me? You know, mummy's gone away with lots of hair and then mummy comes home with nothing. So that's all I cared about. And so I cried the whole flight home thinking, oh my gosh, she's not going to recognize me. She's going to think I'm a different person. And as soon as she saw me and I got massive hugs, then she said, rock and roll. And I was like, yeah, game over. I don't care what anyone thinks about me. I need to figure this out because I don't know what alopecia is. And that was one of the strangest things, Kieran, was everyone started phoning me going, right, can you help people with alopecia? And I went, I don't even know what it is. It's just happened to me. So I don't know. I'm not an expert.
So it's funny. So almost immediately you were kind of being appointed kind of a spokesperson almost, was it?
Well, yeah. And also we had, it was back in the days when paparazzis were following you and stuff, and they followed me everywhere. And it was, I must admit, it was so destroying because, you know, I wasn't feeling very pretty. And I was just thinking, you know, something strange has happened. And then I had all these guys following me around on motorbikes and cars and jumping out with cameras to take pictures of me. And I just thought, you know what? Please don't do this. You know, if it happened to your sister or your best friend or you or your mother or your father, you wouldn't be chasing them around all over the place. You'd give them some space. But, you know, that's how it works back in the day.
Yeah, because that was, that period was really that kind of peak few years whereby yourselves and others were considered, you were almost kind of characters, you were considered, and people treated you as such and treated your emotions that way.
I don't think people, you know, we were all having a great time, don't get me wrong. In the 90s, there was lots of fun things, top of the pops, hilarious, wonderful. But we had wonderful people working with us. But then when the magazines got involved, it all started getting darker. And, you know, you make mistakes and do the odd photo shoot, but, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't allow people to follow you to your house because you look different. And you just think, right, okay, we have to take this one way or the other. And my phone was getting hacked at the time. And I was like, really? I look different. You're now listening to my phone calls. Yeah, it was all very bizarre. But I'm very proud of being bald, Kieran. I love being bald. Because you know what? It takes like 2 minutes in the shower.
Okay. Yeah, I get that. There must be plus sides to it. You must save money as well.
Yeah, I kind of embraced it in a great thing. And also just loves it. She loves the fact that her mom's different. And my friends, you know, I've got wigs. I don't wear them, but I've got the option. But I'm so happy with, like, being myself and also helping other people. And, you know, my mum died of cancer and I watched her go through chemotherapy. So my hair loss means nothing to me in comparison to people that are going through cancer and chemo. I'm the lucky one.
How long, Gail, did it take you to get to that point? Well, you know, where you're proud of it, where you could look on the plus side of it, where you could keep things in perspective.
I think it was pretty much as soon as I got home, after my hair fell out, as soon as I got home to my daughter in London, and she said rock and roll, so 4 weeks. But I took, you know, years of not always abuse, but people making fun of me or laughing at me or making snide comments in the papers. But do you know what? When you've got, you know, whether it's your best friend's love or a mother's love or a father's love or your dog's or your cat's love, and you feel good, you can take that and think, you know what, I don't care what any of you think. I've got this. So my daughter literally smacked it out of me. She's like, no, you look great. Love you. So it took me about 4 weeks.
I feel a bit hypocritical asking this question because we've asked you to come on to talk about alopecia. But, did you resent it all that's the thing you became the spokesperson for? That kind of all the other gigs kind of dried up to a degree, or say certainly for a time, and that all anyone wanted to, you know, get Gail Porter on for was to talk about hair loss?
Well, Kieran, I've kind of like, I've done that. I've done mental health. I've done, you know, it doesn't matter. If people want me in to talk about stuff and I've dealt with it, then I can do something okay about it. It did sort of drag me down a little bit because obviously no one pays you. They say, oh, you're helping someone, so we're not going to pay you. So there's a long time where I was going on television or radio or whatever I was doing, and they're going, oh, please just come, please help someone, but we don't have any money. Like, right. But still did it anyway. But I did my, we did a documentary called Being Gail Porter about mental health. And it wasn't just about mental health. It was about how people feel about themselves. And we won a BAFTA for it. So do you know what? My daughter said to me, Mama, after everything you've gone through and you've been up, down, couldn't afford to pay for houses, people don't pay you, but you actually just want a buster for being a little bit nuts. And I mean, I know, right?
Listen, it's a tonic even speaking to you. You've got like a great attitude to something that I know lots of other people would struggle with.
Well, do you know what? I think, Kieran, we've all got it in us, because if you look at, you know, I work with so many charities in this country and around the world, and I see things you never want to see, and I try my best, and I just think that every day is just, I'll take it as it is. If something great happens, that's going to be great. If something is not great, then we can try and do something good about it. I know it sounds a bit rubbish, but that's just how I live my life. You know, I don't need for anything. My daughter's happy. I've got a roof over my head. I don't need anything. I don't need a car. I just need to make sure that I can help others in some way, and then also go on a comedy tour and make everyone laugh.
Well, listen, I think it'll have made lots of people listening to this laugh and certainly smile, Gail. It's been a real pleasure. Thanks a million for joining us.
Oh, no, thank you ever so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.